Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very, very welcome back. Well, the hashtag Come On You Girls in Green is reminding me of our boys in green back in 1988 to 1990, breaking into the international football arena with some beautiful gameplay. RTÉ news reporter Samantha Librari has just arrived in Perth, where she is following the national squad at their first ever Women's World Cup. Is it good morning or good afternoon to you there, Samantha?
Good evening, Dervil. It's just coming up to 7 o'clock in the evening here in Perth, and it's pitch dark outside because Australian winters mean it gets dark at 5 o'clock in the evening. So, yeah, it's a bit hard when I hear your music there. I think it's Saturday. It feels like Saturday morning, but I'm not even quite sure what day it is anymore. But anyway, all is good on this side of the world.
Well, listen, tell us about Ireland's first game. We went into the game with Australia as underdogs. You were literally pitch side. What did you make of the match?
Yeah, we went into the game as underdogs. We're the underdogs of the group. But the news that just before kickoff that Sam Kerr was injured, it just sent shockwaves through Australia and through the Irish squad and all of the Irish fans. She had taken part in a pre-match press conference the day before with her manager. And it turns out the two of them were essentially taking part in one of the biggest bluffs in women's football history, possibly in sporting history. They didn't give a single hint that there was anything up. And they've since admitted that this was a deliberate tactic not to give Ireland any kind a leg up, because they knew our whole game plan would have been based around the threat of Sam Kerr. Now, she was replaced, ironically, by Mary Fowler, who was born in Cairns in Australia, to a mother who's from Papua New Guinea and a father, Kevin Fowler, who's from Ballymun on the north side of Dublin. And she's generally a super sub who comes on to change the game. So Ireland would have prepared in some way for her presence, but they would have been focused on Sam Kerr. So it threw everybody, Australia included, and they did seem somewhat diminished without their captain. The first half, it was a very tough game of football to watch. It was scrappy. Nobody was really making much progress. And Ireland's tactic is always to defend. And they did that for the first 45 minutes and the Australians just couldn't get through us. But we all know what happened in that second half. Marissa Shiva's clumsy tackle gave way to a penalty. The game changed after that. And for a few minutes, it looked like Ireland was going to crumble. But actually, around the 70th minute, they bounced back. Abby Larkin and Lucy Quinn came on. They picked up the pace. And in the dying minutes of the game, we actually came really, really close. So by the time the full-time whistle blew, while we'd actually lost the match, one, it wasn't really a result that anyone didn't expect. We were never expected to win that game. You know, a draw would have been a win for us. But everyone seemed to agree that, you know, there was an awful lot of positives to take going into the next two games.
My heart went out to her. Do you think she's been overly criticised for that loss? Like, I mean, you can imagine just the pressure, you know, and the amount of eyes. Like, I think what, something over 2 billion people are going to see this, but just the pressure for that young team.
Yeah, because I was pitch side, I actually didn't see the images you all saw of her crying that was captured by the cameras. But she's a relatively new addition to the squad. She only made her home debut against France at the farewell game a few weeks ago. And she came into the squad earlier this year. She played against a friendly in China and the two games in the US as well. But she plays for Washington Spirit, which is a team in the US National Women's Super League. And they get average attendances of around 10,000 fans a game. So she's probably more used to being on a big stage than a lot of the other players. And I interviewed her before she left for Australia. She's from Pennsylvania and her Irish connection is her grandparents are from Donegal and Tyrone. But her parents and her sister were travelling out to this game, so she would have had them in the stand as well. And look, giving away a penalty is going to be hard on any player.
I had to look again
at the footage to see about the call, because someone was saying it was soft. In any situation when you're on such a big stage on such a big occasion. But I don't think anyone could really direct any anger towards her for what happened. And I know there's been a bit of controversy playing out at home over some of the criticism she's received.
But there's been a lot of pushback. There's been a lot of pushback to that as well. What was really striking, Samantha, I'm so envious of you being out there, was just whatever about the team, seeing all of the, you know, the Irish people who've made Australia their home, but also actually surprised by the amount of Irish people who have travelled across the world to support this team.
I know, and it surprised me too, because when we were coming out here initially, they, you know, the embassy had given us figures saying there was about 4,000 people travelling out, and I thought that was quite a big number. And when you think about the fact that there was 7,000 at the home game, like, you know, the idea that there was 4,000 people coming here just for the game, but we've met people from all over the place. Obviously, on that day, a lot of those fans you were seeing, when I got talking to them after the game, they're young Irish people who are living in, when I was younger and out in Australia, the place to live was Bondi. Now it's a place called Coogee Beach, I think, if I'm saying that right, that's where everyone lives. So there's a huge contingent in Sydney. But I, you know, every second or third group of people I'd met had travelled out, and it's a mixture of people who, you know, have been involved in the game for a long time and follow this team. There's some people, I met one woman from Longford who used to play soccer years ago, and it was her 40th wedding anniversary, and she asked her husband, can we go to Australia for this? Because she just wanted to be here, and she was saying some of the women she played with in the past are gone now, and she kind of felt like she had to honour that. So, you know, some people have, it's a massive journey to make, it's an expensive journey to make, and yet people have made it to be part of this occasion.
I know that I've been following your Instagram account, so I know your young daughter is one of them, but the impact on the young female population here, seeing all the young girls, is 4, 5 and 6 out in the Ireland jumpers, the impact on the next generation could be phenomenal. It's just so lovely to watch.
Yeah, that's it. Like, you know, if nothing else is achieved in this tournament, that's the legacy that they've left behind. And the FAI say there's already been a huge rise in the number of girls playing football at grassroots levels. And they put it down to the success of this team in recent years. Katie McCabe has said on numerous occasions that she had no female football role models growing up, and Damien Duff was the only person that she looked up to, and her and the rest of that team know now that they are a generation's role models. And you know, I got pictures sent to me while I was pitch side of my 6-year-old, and she had the, you know, the draped in the flag with the shamrock painted on her face, and watching the game in her jersey, and that's the image I have, and maybe you have, of Italia 90. And I was only about a year older than her at the time, and it's the very reason I became a football fan and have followed Shamrock Rovers for 30 years. She also apparently was very divided on who she should cheer for, because if she knew if Ireland won that I wouldn't be coming home anytime soon. But for girls of her age, you know, being able to see the women on a world stage playing this game, and you know, the thing about this is it all comes down to the growth of this game will come down to investment and money. And Irish company Teneo, they monitor the sports commercial world, and they've been saying that up to now FIFA, when it came to sponsorship of men's and women's, they kind of bundled them all together, but now because of this tournament and the attention it's garnered, the women's game has been kind of sold as a separate package, and it's reckoned that FISA have spent €17 million to commit to the women's game between now and 2026. 2 billion people are expected to watch this tournament. More money coming into the game, you would hope, means more money going into grassroots women football.
You know what, Samantha? We're absolutely,
hopefully it all leads together.
We're absolutely useless because we haven't even got around to previewing next Monday's match. But listen, thank you so much for joining us this evening where you are, this morning where we are, RT news reporter Samantha Librari.